You are listening to the Element Style Lessons in Gaming PlayStation Podcast, where your news is raw, uncut, uncensored, and the world of opinionated fanboys is severely shot down. So do enjoy the show.
Oh my god, how can your console be better than mine? Your console doesn't even have games. I do not like that game because it's on your console. Blah.
For 30 years, what's made Star Wars so appealing is this element, this rich story and these deep characters.
For over 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic.
We felt that it was critical that Star Wars The Old Republic be fully voiced.
All Marines have been neutralized.
And that delivers that immersive experience that really brings these characters to life.
What's going on? Stay calm, Ensign. Everyone stay calm.
It just felt right to do it with full voiceover for all the characters and the companion characters, non-player characters you get to interact with. It makes everything much more powerful. We see games as an art form, and we want to create a story that rivals cinema and novels.
Who's calling the shots here?
I'm Captain Revenant Orzik. I'm pretty sure I know what this is about. For the record, I take complete responsibility for my actions.
You disobeyed a direct order from Grand Moff Kilron.
Yes, I had no idea he'd respond this brutally. Maybe he just hates me.
You're listening to these characters, and you're chatting amongst them, and you're playing, you're there. And that's a really engaging and cinematic experience.
I fought in a war before, and I'll fight again, but I don't do suicide missions.
We can complete this mission and survive.
The benefit to the player is a much deeper emotional attachment to your character. Nobody has tried to deliver this amount of immersion in a video game so far.
I can handle any borders.
All right. Defend the ship at all costs.
We have business to take care of.
Star Wars The Old Republic is one of the most ambitious voiceover projects in the history of the video game industry, perhaps the entertainment industry itself.
Hope you're as good as the old man says.
Everything in this game is going to be voiced, from the player characters...
Excuse me, but I have a safe house to shoot up.
...to the NPCs...
The bridge is now secure.
Everyone's going to be talking to you.
We have an emergency. Please respond.
It allows players to interact with the non-player characters and the companion characters and the quest givers in ways that no one has ever done before.
Indeed. The main attraction has arrived. Ready to meet your team?
There's heroes, villains, crackpots, just a vast number of different characters that are going to feel familiar to the Star Wars universe and some that are going to feel new.
If we're going to survive, we need to work together.
Now comes the fun part.
Our casting net is worldwide, and we're finding the very best actors to bring these characters to life.
Our mission would greatly benefit from your assistance.
We had to have professional voice directors.
If you can do sort of a Darth Maul thing and a Welsh thing.
Everyone involved in the process was the top people in the industry.
The Republic deserves your best efforts.
It's larger than every role-playing game that BioWare has ever made. Put together. We have over a dozen writers making sure that every piece of dialogue really is a living, breathing thing.
If you want to live, do exactly what I say.
And it really gives a sense that the universe is connected, that there are real things happening.
Enemy is firing.
Evasive maneuvers.
All units, maximum firepower.
It involves literally hundreds of thousands of lines of spoken dialogue, thousands of actors, studios all over the world, a whole army of people supporting all that.
Drop your weapons and surrender.
We thought if we could actually pull it off, actually have a game with that much VO, it really changed the whole playing field forever.
You find a target and I'll take it down hard.
Our designers are using tools that didn't exist 10 years ago to change the actors' performances by giving them different animations, different facial expressions. They can do all of the things that a film director can do, but it actually runs live.
Bounty Hunter. You have our attention.
Their interactive dialogue system actually knows who you're with, so the dialogues and the stories will be slightly tweaked depending on what classes are around you.
You have our attention, my lord.
Yes, my lord.
Yes, my lord.
When I've actually chosen to be kind to someone,
I'm not looking to make a martyr of anyone.
And then I betray them later on? That actually means something.
The captain's dead! Shut up and prepare to jump to light speed.
Never should have attacked
them. Better know what you're doing, or what?
Taking this voiceover, we talk a lot about the quantity of it, but the quality is really the game changer.
We're setting up the support system so you can build a reputation.
The drama, the tension, even the humor, it really comes to life.
Personally, I'm just here to kill people and cause damage.
The voiceover makes you feel like you're really the star at the center of the action.
Incoming shuttle!
Star Wars means different things to every different person, so we wanted to make sure that in the older public, players walk away feeling like there's characters that they were able to really connect to.
Be safe out there.
With the full voiceover, we wanted to evoke an immersive, living, breathing environment that players will never have seen before.
Imperial arrogance knows no bounds.
This is the infinite Star Wars experience that I've always dreamed of being a part of ever since I saw the films, and I think that our fans are going to feel the same way.
Your only hope for survival is complete and utter loyalty.
Hey, what's up, guys? You just heard the developer interview from BioWare about the upcoming Old Republic MMO, which is aiming to be the biggest MMORPG experience since World of Warcraft. From watching the interview, I get that exact feeling. If you want to check out the interview and video, head on over to GameTrailers.com. So first things first, I wanted to do something a little different and have the podcast hosted by a different person. You'll still be hearing me, but differently. An experiment of personalities, if you will. And since I have just recently seen Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, here we go.
First, I'd like to apologize for the delayed release of this episode. I've been really busy getting some hands-on gaming with Demon's Souls, which I will be touching on shortly. A couple of things I wanted to discuss beforehand was a few key headlines in the Element-style world, as well as the gaming front. First, I'd like to announce that I've taken up the project of fan-subbing Bleach every week, with the aim of providing the fans not only an HD version, but an HD version that does not require much horsepower, as it is encoded with XVID. What that means is, XVID being a standardized codec close to the likes of DivX, devices such as the PS3 and Xbox 360, along with set-top boxes with DivX capabilities, are able to play the releases. I've also aimed at releasing every week before the famed Datai Bayo group. So, if you are a fan of Bleach, be sure to check out the blog at element7x.com every Tuesday. Now, I wanted to talk about the whole controversy between Bobby Kotick and Sony. To recap it simply, he proposed Sony to drop the PS3's price soon, or he may consider shutting down support for the respective consoles. While Kotick has all the right in the world to be concerned for his business, he has absolutely no right to wage ultimatums against a company that is far from beneficial to them. Asking Sony to lose more on the PS3 so that your company can make more money, downright git if you ask me. First of all, the PS3 is close to 25 million units sold worldwide, So what is the problem, Koenig? On average, a title has to sell about 1 million copies to turn a profit. So you have 25 million people to sell to, which isn't that much less than the 360 and the Wii. Maybe if your products hadn't been flooded by hardware peripherals, you'd make a killing on software sales. Capcom alone makes millions each quarter on the PSP with Monster Hunter games and whatever else they make. Kodak spoke about stopping support on the PSP too, yet his last PSP game was back in 2007. So perhaps Capcom is reaping the benefits of which Activision's Kotick doesn't think is there. It seems EA and BioWare also have that quote, "There are millions of PSP and PS3 users out there, just make good games," end quote. But the fact that since Modern Warfare, Activision's only money pylon would be the Guitar Hero franchise, which also has to sell hardware peripherals. Activision has also left the ESA, so they have no public exposure at events such as E3. Activision's latest foray in software is Tony Hawk's Ride, another hardware peripheral-driven game. I don't see that selling well at all, especially at its current price. Correct me if I'm wrong. But wouldn't this game be totally obsolete by the time Natal and Sony Motion 3 is out? Great business decision there. Great. I mean, you demo the Ride skateboard peripheral on stage at E3, and moments later you've got a Natal demo video of a kid playing a skateboard game without one, or with his own. It's just a good example of how you'd call shovel hardware. Well, that's all I have to say about that subject. Moving on, I wanted to dive deeper into the world of Demon's Souls. I wanted to give you guys a taste of the bigger picture when it arrives stateside October. On that note, I wanted to give a huge, huge shout-out to, and thanks to, all three from GamePro, who sought fit to send me a copy, since he could not make use of a copy he could not understand completely. Demon's Souls is Japan's take on the Western RPG genre, as such would call it. A big open world where what you do greatly affects your factions and alliances throughout the game, and you do not have a party system or active turn-based battle system. You fight with your own tactics and stratagems from the get-go, and you can either cooperate with others via PSN or go solo. But if you play this game offline, you're basically solo. But not to worry, because the game is doable alone. The graphics are stand-up. They hold up well against some top-tier titles, but the jaggering frame rate causes concern, and perhaps is due to the open network game world. Several world events, such as a fire-breathing dragon, or rocks crumbling, or boulders crashing down a hill will slow up the frame rate, but that could probably be patched up in the future. That doesn't change the fact that with such games like Killzone and Infamous, this shouldn't even be in the final product. But that is, by far, the only booger I have to pick with this game. Now, the gameplay is easily the most enjoyable Western RPG experience on the PS3, rivaling that of Fallout 3, only to be outdone by the graphics and VAT system in the game. You'll start the game with it asking if you'd like to play on PSN, yes or no. That's your choice. Since this is our first playthrough, we'll go PSN style. At this point, you'll notice the game is already in patch 1.04, fixing several gameplay issues and, of course, the famous soul glitch, allowing you to share souls collected with other profiles on your game via suicide. The game gives you several options right off the bat during character creation. Now, this is the import version straight from Japan, so please bear with me if my translations aren't matching up to the official names and whatnot, as several characters have several meanings to them. You are first off given the choice of male or female, and your name, none of which matters except with the female's ability to wear certain armor sets. Now, the first choice to make is how you want to play. You are given the following choices, and again, forgive the rough, albeit accurate translations. You can be a knight, a bishop, a bandit, a wizard, a holy knight, a soldier, a ronin, a barbarian, a royal, and a hunter. Now, I chose to be a ronin, which is a wanderer in Japanese, and you might ask why. Well, I will give you a couple of guesses, and if you can't figure that out, then you probably should stop this podcast right now. Okay, so I start the game sporting a nice large falcon sword, shield, and somewhat agile clothing. You're already the makings of a great ronin samurai. Have you figured it out yet? That's great. But if I were you, I'd pick a thief, or any type of magician, considering the amount of physical-type enemies you'll be facing early on in the game. While I haven't played through half of the game yet, it seems to be the wiser choice to be either, for their long-range nature. Basically, you will be going around killing monsters, collecting souls with only healing magic, or tsukikasa, or moongrass to heal you. The whole point of the game, besides the story, is collecting all the souls you can, and when you die, you proceed in soul form and your attacks are increased, but vitality is halved. Should you die more often than not, you are more so end up with a black character tendency, which is the definition of good or evil, and the latter being white. Now, the game is basically straightforward with the controls, but you have to be very, very cautious and patient with your offense, because some enemies, such as the blue-eyed knights and red-eyed knights, can kill you easily if you lose your composure. So basically, souls are the sole currency of the entire game. You will need the souls you gain from killing monsters and exposing soul gems to buy weapons, items, upgrade your weapons via the blacksmith's Ed and Baldwin. You will collect the necessary materials needed to upgrade your weapons along your journeys, and the nice part is you can stockpile these items with a storage person and still be able to use them when upgrading your weapon. You don't even have to take them out. So you've got your typical right-hand weapons 1 and 2, and left-hand weapons, so you can essentially choose if you're left or right-handed. You've got overall physical defense, with parameters such as stab and cut defense, along with an assortment of stats for magical defense power and resistances. Now, I won't go into depth about those, because those will be self-explanatory during the game. The most interesting part about the game is the ability to read messages by others and leave messages for them, as well as the ability to summon a phantom, which is an online player, to work cooperatively with you against the boss. Now, your greatest weapons early on in the game will be a fire torch, which looks just like a fire torch, but more or less a Molotov cocktail. You'll be able to kill some pretty tough enemies early on using these to your advantage. Now here's a hint for the blue-eyed knights. You walk up to them. When I say walk, you're simply moving the analog stick just a little bit. Okay? So you're going to walk up to them until you can auto-target using the R3 button. And you put the fire torch in your equipment item box and throw it at the fella and deal about 80% of his life and go in for the kill when he decides to heal with moongrass. Now, another great weapon for the physical types would be the Sharpening Stone, which adds +3 or +5 attribute to your physical damage, as well as the Fire Powder, which will enable you to coat your sword in fire, which becomes an even greater weapon than the Fire Torch, since each attack will turn it into a Molotov. So the story gets very interesting as you get into the game, and I'm hoping to dive deeper into the game's adventure as time goes on. But you folks have a great game waiting for you when October rolls around, and the stateside English copy hits the market. I would have to say this is one of the best RPG experiences of 2009, without a doubt, on the PS3. Now, with Final Fantasy XIII rolling around the corner, I know it's premature to claim, but it's a safe bet. I mean, it's a good contender for now. Well, that's all I'm going to get into in this week's Lessons in Gaming podcast. Stay tuned for the next episode of the podcast, in which I will take your answers to the following question, in which the question will be asked by my good friend, Gollum. Is this my PS3 Wii U? And if so, will it be Sony's price cut, or will they release the cheaper slimline with reduced features and keep the current PS3 the same price? Send me your answers to elementxstyle@gmail.com. And don't forget to join in on the ongoing discussions, rants, and forever opinionated panels at the forums located at elements7x.com/forums. Ah! It burns! It burns! Right. Also, I wanted to give a shout-out to all three again for the game, and a shout-out to NATO Hook, Joker, and Raid 6, and a special shout-out to Smash Brothers Brawlers. It's good to see you again, mate. My condolences go out to your family. So until next time, take care, bitches.